It was not until nearly an hour later that Mr. Entwistle, after a great deal of conversation with supervisors and others, found himself at last speaking to Hercule Poirot. "Thank heaven!" said Mr. Entwistle, with pardonable exasperation. "The exchange seems to have had the greatest difficulty in getting the number." "That is not surprising. The receiver was off the hook." There was a grim quality in Poirot's voice, which carried through to the listener. Mr. Entwistle said sharply, "Has something happened?" "Yes. Mrs. Leo Abernethy was found by the housemaid about 20 minutes ago, lying by the telephone in the study. She was unconscious. A serious concussion."
"Do you mean she was struck on the head?"
"I think so. It is just possible that she fell and struck her head on a marble doorstep, but me, I do not think so. And the doctor, he does not think so either."
"Well, she was telephoning to me at the time. I wondered when we were cut off so suddenly."
"So it was to you she was telephoning. What did she say?"
"She mentioned to me some time ago that on the occasion when Cora Lanskene suggested her brother had been murdered, she herself had a feeling of something being wrong, odd. She did not know quite how to put it. Unfortunately, she could not remember why she had had that impression."
"And suddenly she did remember?"
"Yes. And rang you up to tell you?"
"Yes. Eh bien."
"Well, there's no eh bien about it," said Mr. Entwistle testily. "She started to tell me, but was interrupted."
"How much had she said?"
"Well, nothing pertinent."
"You will excuse me, mon ami, but I am the judge of that, not you. What exactly did she say?"
"Well, she reminded me that I had asked her to let me know at once if she remembered what it was that had struck her as peculiar. She said she had remembered, but that it didn't make sense. I asked her if it was something about one of the people who were there that day, and she said yes, it was. She said it had come to her when she was looking in the glass."
"Yes?"
"Well, that was all."
"She gave no hint as to which of the people concerned it was?"
"I should hardly fail to let you know if you had told me that," said Mr. Entwistle acidly.
"I apologize, mon ami, of course you would have told me."
Mr. Entwistle said, "We shall just have to wait until she recovers consciousness before we know."
Poirot said gravely, "That may not be for a very long time.
Perhaps never."
"Is it as bad as that?" Mr. Entwistle's voice shook a little.
"Yes, it is as bad as that."
"But that's terrible, Poirot."
"Yes, it is terrible. And it is why we cannot afford to wait, for it shows that we have to deal with someone who is either completely ruthless or so frightened that it comes to the same thing.
But look here, Poirot, what about Helen?
I feel worried. Are you sure she will be safe at Enderby?"
"No, she would not be safe. So she is not at Enderby. Already the ambulance has come and is taking her to a nursing home where she will have special nurses and where no one, family or otherwise, will be allowed in to see her."
Mr. Entwistle sighed. "You relieve my mind. She might have been in danger."
"She assuredly would have been in danger."
Mr. Entwistle's voice sounded deeply moved. "I have a great regard for Helen Abernethy. I always have had. A woman of very exceptional character. She may have had certain, what shall I say, reticences in her life."
"Ah, there were reticences?"
"I have always had an idea that such was the case."
"Hence the villa in Cyprus."
"Yes."
"That explains a good deal."
"I don't want you to begin thinking."
"You cannot stop me thinking.
But now,
there is a little commission that I have for you."
"One moment."